rising kings, queens, gods, and goddesses. Thank you for showing up for another episode of That White Girl. I am Kimberly Michael Schneider, and I have the immense honor, and might I say that it took me forever, but he's here to have on Edward Hawkins. And I am thrilled about this, as I always am, but this especially because of who he caters to, if you will. He's a teacher out of Rosedale, Mississippi. And welcome to the show, Edward, finally.
Thank you. How you doing? Welcome. Thank you.
I'm doing great. I'm so excited, as you know, to finally have you on the show. I've been, at you for a couple months. and I've been following you for probably about a year now as well. So as you know, we've already talked. I'm so excited about what you're doing. I feel like it's so important what you do and who you do it for. And so with that being said, let's just jump right in and give me a little background about, you know, how you started teaching, if you will. And I'm saying that in not in the most basic form, because I feel like you're beyond just a teacher, as in like a school level, if you know what I mean. So just talk to me a little bit about how or what made you come to the conclusion that this is what you wanted to do for your life.
Okay, yeah. So what really brought me to the main conclusion is I don't like getting played. That's one thing I kind of hate. I hate when people play me, and I hate getting played, most definitely. And then when I realized that I got played all through K-12, when I realized that through the level of miseducation, not teaching me the correct history, I felt very played. I'm like, well, you know, I never really got a chance to start off. And it came from more like a self-creative type thinking. When I realized that no matter where you look in the Delta, no matter where you look around, everyone was in the same position. Most definitely, the Black people, they was most definitely in the same position, no matter where you go, from California to New York to the South, no matter what state we in, we are the most incarcerated, the most uneducated, the most poverty, and the most on government assisted. And by studying mathematics, I kind of realized that cannot happen by mistake. That also got to happen by design. So as I realized, and like I said, I really could have been probably dead probably right now. Like two of my best friends died, and of course they died of violence, but it ended up kind of waking me up to realize how deep and fool I was just with the educational system. So as I started reading history, started looking at everything, I started challenging the status quo. And the people in my town, or the people around with the PhDs and bachelor's degrees and master's degrees, the ones who were responsible for teaching me, and the ones that are responsible for teaching the kids. When I went and talked to them and issued them this new information and started seeing how reluctant they to it, they just didn't want to learn nothing about it. And it was also pushing me back. That's when kind of woke me up, saying it's bigger than education. A lot of people focus on the kids, but the kids is not the problem. The kids is the result of the problem. And I truly believe that the problem is when you got a position of power, solve the problem, but they still get paid for it. That would kind of drew me to the conclusion, oh, some got to be done. I started challenging everything. I realized that the people that we think educated are not educated. They are highly trained. They are highly schooled. They're getting schooled and getting educated. So they are so trained and so schooled that they're miseducated to the highest degree. But these are the people that's in charge for teaching me. It just kind of overwhelming, and I just like, you know, I got to get out here on my own and start learning something. Start realizing, and when I realized that I wasn't the only one feeling this way, and start connecting with the few, that's when I say just time to go all out. Because at this point in time, I start studying about capitalism, imperialism, and I realized that I'm not finna sell out for no type of cash value. I'm not selling out for nothing. I'm going all in, and that kind of just keep me going. And meeting people like you. And meeting the Black Liberation Movement, it actually gave me strength, because it's hard. It's hard when you're the only one, or it's only two or three people among 1,700 or 2,000 that had this mindset. And by reaching out to people like you, it actually gave me energy to keep pushing. So I thank you.
Right. Oh, I thank you, and I feel the exact same way you do. It is a lonely world that we live in, and that's how I feel. I mean, some days I get up and I feel like I'm never going to reach anybody. You know what I'm saying? But what I'm saying, what I'm doing, it sometimes feels only important to me. And I feel like you do. Then I talk to you, and I talk to other people that are in the Black Liberation Movement or the Republic of Al Africa, and I am motivated, and I don't believe in hope. I think it's a mistake. I believe in unmitigated faith. So it feeds my faith, if you will, that at some point in hopefully my lifetime or in my children's lifetime, you know, that Black liberation is a memory and of how we got there, kind of like civil rights was and slavery was. You know what I mean? And people talk about, oh, when that movement happened, and that's why I do what I do. And maybe that's why we are all coming together. That's why the universe is bringing us to one another, is because we can feed each other, because we know, you know, we know the struggle up here. Not everybody has this mindset, and especially white people, especially white folks. So, you know, I'm honored, and I really want people to hear you and feel you and understand, you know, what you're doing and how you're doing it. So we talked a little bit about you're working on getting some tutoring in, but now that we know why, what is your, I don't know, I want to say main focus, but what is your main audience, I should say, and what is it that you want to feed them?
Well, most definitely, the main audience really is kind of, I'm not going to say everybody, but anybody that's fed up and ready to do something about the current condition we're in. And I truly believe that we can't do nothing about the current condition we're in until we got full understanding of how we get in this condition. In order to get full understanding of how we get in this condition, we're gonna have to go through a mass amount of re-education. A lot of people are already so trained, so Americanized, that at this point, it's almost no turning back, because they've been so thoroughly brainwashed at this point in time that it's almost, they're almost the point of no return. They almost reach to the point where they can never become knowledgeable, intellect, into a belief. One of the main things I realized about advancing our people in knowledge and intellect, the reason why I believe we having such a hard time getting it to you, is not about what we teach, because we teach the truth. And so when you give people this abundance of truth and they still don't understand, at that point in time, Ken, we got to ask ourselves what is holding them back. And when I realize how systematic it is holding them back, that's the you get to that point where it's almost get to no return. Let me give you an example. Everything is almost fake. You got people I forgot the guy's name. I think it's Jesse Jackson with the Rainbow Push Coalition. Now, they're supposed to be the leaders of the Black community who get put on the forefront. But his agenda is called push, and it's praying to something happen. Whenever you get a leader like that telling a younger generation, just pray until something happens, you just killed that whole generation. You don't pray it, you make things happen. You know, and it's that difference that we are getting led by the bourgeoisie or by the fake ones who don't understand really what's going on. Another example is that if you look at the educational system, every teacher I talk to realize that the educational system don't work. When I tell them, let's start our own educational system, they ask questions of this nature. I make $30,000-$40,000 a year. I get 401k. I get Blue Cross Blue Shield. I get my money in the RIA. They're so comfortable getting taken care of by the state that they're not able to create for themselves. And that's the mass form of capitalism. Whenever we get taken care of by the state, we automatically become puppets of the state. For instance, if we don't agree with the flu shot used to be so cost so much money people couldn't afford it. Well, let's look at this. Right. If you are a nurse or a doctor, or you work in the health field, and you are controlled by the state tells you, if you do not get this flu shot, you cannot work. So automatically, if a person even know the truth about the flu vaccine and how missionaries went to Africa and say they was vaccinating people, but they giving them HIV. So if we understand what was going on, they have become spoke puppets of the system. They say, it don't matter, I make $70,000 a year. I'm going to let them inject my kids and I'm going to let them inject me, because we puppets of the state. But the main people that don't work for the state, which are the capitalists, they don't work for the state's people, such as the one who owns Facebook, the Bill Gates, the one who owns the iPhone. These guys dropped out of college. They don't work for the state. So they make use for the state. And when we understand that the state don't run nothing, it's only private corporations. Even the people who print out the money, the Federal Reserve, they do not belong to the United States. The United States can sup with them. If the Federal Reserve stopped printing money today, the whole system shut down. That's the last time we had a recession. The only reason we had a recession was the Federal Reserve stopped spending the money. Everything crashed. Everything went to the low, and the rich got rich and the poor got poor. The people who make our money do not work for the state. It's private corporations. So therefore, we spend our whole life running behind the people who make money. That's bad business. And it lead us into a state of depression. I think at this point in time, it's very bad. I don't even shop at Firestone. I don't even like shopping at Firestone or any one of them places that make tires, because I realize that the only reason Firestone and all them tire places got the rubber are because of what the Belgians did to the people in the Congo. I mean, it was a 10 million to 12 million people got killed for companies like Firestone and the rubber company to advance. So it all happened to capitalism. It's just time for it to end at this point. And we're going to have to go through a system, a massive re-education. We're going to have to be re-educated.
Right, which is what you're in the business of doing.
Right. And I realized, I started off tutoring the kids. When I realized the kids was up, I realized that the parents and the teacher need to. And when you're talking about teaching a parent, teaching somebody in a high education field who already think they're sophisticated, you run into a dead horse almost.
Yes. Yes. I absolutely agree with that statement. My kids were in school for my oldest went all the way through school. And my two youngest I pulled out in junior high for numerous reasons. But it was that point, not realizing what my real thought process was. But every day, I swear, it was something else that I had to go up to that school and show my face. You know, everybody knew me at the school. They knew my ex-husband at the schools. And, you know, you're absolutely right. You're in there beating dead horses because everybody up under that system is so brainwashed. Yes, right. And now, and we've had this, we talked about it, it's generational. You're talking about, and I explained this, you're talking about no one, for instance, no one told me to hate Black folks. No one in my family. I grew up with all these white people. No one said to me, you need to hate white folks. What they said to me was, we should all be getting along regardless of our color. But what they projected outwardly was something completely different. And so my mindset came from a generational understanding about what was and what wasn't. Nobody has to tell anybody anything. And sometimes you can't. My daughter at the age of, I'm going to say she was, I was in school and I had to do some stuff. And so I put them in school for about a year in the system. And my daughter kept getting a dress code. Now, mind you, if anybody know me, they know better. I didn't play those type of games with my child. She covered her ass up, period, bottom line. And so she actually started a petition. If I hadn't pulled them out of school when I did and relocated at the time, it would have probably been national news, because she started a petition because one of the teachers, they were having a conversation about dress code. And one of the white teachers said, my daughter said, Black girls get dress code more often than white girls. And she said, that's because Black girls' bodies are distracting. And it's that kind of shit right there that sent me right over the edge when it comes to education and teachers and people. These are the people that are teaching your kids. This is the real fucking mindset that they have, that Black folks, like, what are Black girls? Literally, that's like objectifying them, dehumanizing them, which I know that I hate that word. My daughter made me understand why, but that's basically what a Black woman's body is more distracting. What does that even mean as a person, as a human? We are the ones who sexualized women and men in the first place. All these other countries don't sexualize aren't sexualized like we are. They don't put that out there like that. So anyway, needless to say, my daughter started a whole petition at like 13 years old about dress code. and was petition getting kids in the school to sign up, and she was taking record of who was getting dress code and keeping track of what color they were and what their nationalities were and what their ethnicity was. You can't fight that. You cannot go into a system built like that from generations and then some, and expect to create or embed yourself in it and then recreate it. There is no other option, as far as I'm concerned, than creating a brand new educational system for Black folks. Fuck white folks. If they want to stay in that shit, cool. Y'all want to stay in that mindset, cool. But Black folks need to have a whole separate education system starting right this minute, right now, immediately.
That's the whole thesis statement behind it. Let me tell you why I believe, and I agree, like, that is 100% correct. Let me tell you why I believe it's been at such a standstill or a halt. This is what it is. Most Black people just want a title. They don't care about Africa. They don't care about their history. If you get them $100,000 in a car and somebody looking up to them, they feeling right. They feeling good. The majority of the ones in the education bureaucracy now, this is what happened. If like, for instance, a superintendent and a financial advisor together make $200,000 a piece. We are living together. If you add just two people in the central office, make $200,000 a year. If I ask how much of that money have they gave back to the school or help building it, it's almost 0%. But they steady complain about we need money, we don't got money. That's impossible. Whenever you are brainwashed by the system, they really think they're doing something, serving the kids some justice. Let me give you an example. Just out of our school, the third and fourth graders, or the fourth and fifth graders, they had something called the Dutch and Duchess. The Dutch and Duchess ceremony. Now, I'm like, what is a Dutch? And do y'all know anything about the Dutch? But they got all these Black kids dressing up like Dutch and Duchess in the Dutch and Duchess uniform, studying the Dutch and Duchess philosophy and ideology. Instead, they should have had these kids dressing up in dashiki. They should have had the little girls running around with baskets over their head, exploring their culture. And this is what it is. When you pay these people in the education system so much money, these people went to school for 4 to 5 years to get their master's degrees, and they swear that their degrees hold some kind of weight. Well, when they are there and part of the system, they become so embedded in the system that they become protectors of the system. When we spent this philosophy to them, they like, I think the system doing good. But it's not more the system doing good, because the system giving them 401k, the system are giving them the IRA, they are giving them all the Christmas break and all the breaks, and they capitalizing off of it. Right now, I think most of our district have uncertified teachers. All they're saying is that just come, we just need people sitting in the classroom to educate the kids, but they're not getting educated, Kim. So the kids are graduating school right now, coming inside a world, working in factory, they selling drugs, selling their body, disrespecting their parents. They have no, and then these same people got kids. So if you can tell, I have became part of that cycle. Because my mother never taught me nothing about Malcolm X. I ain't never heard nothing about Marcus Garvey in my life. I don't even praise Martin Luther King like most people praise Martin Luther King, because the only reason the government praised him, because they made him out of a puppet, teaching people to be nonviolent. Lyndon B. Johnson tricked them.
Exactly.
So they want us to praise him. It's time for us to have a Malcolm X or a Malcolm X holiday. Give us a Malcolm X streets. Give us some Fred Hampton Boulevard. They're not finna praise these type of people. All they gonna do is get out of here and Americanize. It's bad, Kim. But at this point in time, I think the solution is, like you said, it's gonna take a revolution. We're gonna have to destroy and rebuild the system. Most educators talking about all we got to do is do it. It's no adding on. If I burn up your house, you don't need to add wood to a burnt house. You got to destroy and rebuild because it's total. Sometimes cars get into an accident. Sometimes the cars are so messed up that it's beyond repair. It's totaled out. You got to destroy and rebuild. I believe the mindset of Black people are so tore up. We are so barely gone that there's no such thing as adding on to the current system. We must destroy and rebuild. And sometimes that might take us to stop joining the military. There's no sense a Black person should join the American military. No, because we got to fight right here. What we should be doing is preparing for the Civil War, which is going to be a race war. Mm-hmm. It cannot be avoided. Mm-hmm. We either going to do it now, or we're going to leave it up to our kids.
Right. And at the end of the day, we keep fucking around and everybody think these white folks joking around about what they gonna do if I ain't gonna give him presents, but if you know who gets impeached, then you know that they're saying there's gonna be a civil war. Now their civil war doesn't have anything to do with black liberation. Let's understand that in the first place.
I agree.
So we're gonna be fighting a civil war for no fucking reason is what we're gonna be doing, instead of, I hate to say this because it sounds like so violent and rebellious and I guess revolution, like a revolutionary, which, you know, I don't claim to hold any titles, but we need to be the ones to start the damn revolution, not the white folks. Thank because you. Their intention behind what they doing is for something totally different than what our revolution would be for. That's their right. Revolution is ignorance and hatred and violence. Our revolution is liberation. So if they start it, we end up fighting and not losing, but losing good black people behind a revolution that ain't got shit to do with black folks.
That's
so
right.
The revolution of it needs to come from black folks, period. And again, I'm with you right now. It needs to happen immediately. Something has to be done right this minute, or we're going to end up in a worse situation than we already in. Everybody wants him impeached. And does anybody even know about the vice president? I'm under this understanding. He's a warmonger and he's more racist than our president is. So then what? So this all sounds fine and good, but once again, here we are. We are literally, you know, I hate to say it like this because I know how people are, but like the Matrix, you know, when he went in and saw all the people on the tubes and, you know, getting fed, we feeding right into everything, including this so-called revolution. Yes, I'm gonna keep carrying my 9mm. And yes, if a motherfucker come at me, I'm gonna take him out. But that isn't going to solve what I'm trying to fight for, which is black liberation, what you trying to fight for, which is black liberation. You know what I'm saying? We are stuck in a trying to invade a system that was not created for us. It does not belong to us, and it does not want us. Period. Period. It don't.
That's like,
which
that's,
is why what you are doing is so important.
That's right. That's right. Ken, let me say this about, I don't really speak about Donald Trump because it can get confusing, but I'm going to just say this out there. And I know it sounds confusing, but I love Donald Trump. When I say I love him, I love him. This is why I love him. Though. I only love him for a certain amount of things. Let me tell you why. Donald Trump is not a politician. Whenever America hates a person, black people should look at that person and begin to pick out the good about it. See, what Donald Trump is doing, if Obama would have did what Donald Trump did, we would have been on. We would have been had our civil war. We would have been on the way of liberation if he would have did it what he did, because Donald Trump pushed one thing. He pushed an agenda of white nationalism. And he's not a politician.
Mm-hmm.
So what he's doing is he's really telling on the politicians. He's making the Republicans mad. And he's making the Democrats, man. And the reason why they think, golly, Donald Trump, listen up, brother. You exposing us.
Mm-hmm.
You got to stay in these lines. And since he's not in them guidelines, we should understand that when Donald Trump tell us that the media is fake, man, we been knew the media was fake. But when you got a person like him keep saying the media is fake, what he doing, he's telling on his own people. Donald Trump is like the person who can't hold water, who going to expose everybody, and a real politician knows. So they getting together, said we got to get him up out of here, because if we don't, he's gonna expose everything. And what people should understand about him is he's so ignorant that he don't realize what's going on, and we should be capitalizing off the ignorance. What he's actually telling on people. Now let's put Hillary Clinton in position. If Hillary Clinton was president, she would have been. See, Donald Trump is not. He's not mentally capable of keeping secrets. He's not mentally capable of keeping the status quo agenda. He don't know what's going on. So he really telling on everybody. So what he doing is he's like exposing everything unconscious because he don't know what's going on. But Hillary Clinton is the type of person that would talk behind your back and laugh in your face. Donald Trump is the type of person, he gonna do it in your face and behind your back. So take it what it is. And I'm telling people, we should take it for what it is and begin to capitalize off that. Now, when we impeach him, we should impeach the whole America. We should be impeaching the whole Constitution. It ain't got nothing to do with the president. He's just so ignorant that I love him based off his ignorance. He just don't know.
Right. Like a baby feeling everything. That's the only reason I, you know, that's what exactly. I mean when I say I kind of love up in that point of view. But once again, right, part of the same system too.
Right. You know, exactly.
And right. It goes to that point. We don't control nothing. We don't control anything. Right now,
not one thing.
And until that started, and in order for this to happen, it's going to take a revolution. Every mm-hmm. single one who got freedom and liberation, every single country from mm-hmm. Haitian to French to German to even mm-hmm. certain parts of Africa that got liberation, they did it through a revolution. Mm-hmm. A revolution don't agree with nothing. It destroy and rebuild. In America, these are the only black people that saying, give me law and give me civil rights. Like Malcolm X said, this is not about civil rights. This is about human rights.
Exactly.
And if we don't understand it from that point exactly. of view, we're going to steady try to live like the Jones, go to the jobs and get paid where they mm-hmm. pay us $80,000 a year, and we ain't going to try to get the revolution. Mm-hmm. Most black people I talk to scared to go mm-hmm. to jail. They scared to lose friends. And I say, well, what about Malcolm X, Marcus Garvey, Fred Hampton, and the people who lost their lives so we can be in a position? Due to the mass amount of uneducation right. about their history, they don't care. We just need to live our life and believe in some right. God. They messing up with it.
Right. Right. Because they don't know their history. Because if they knew their history, they would understand that Garvey, Malcolm X, Nina Simone, people like that did not fight for y'all to be in the position that you're in right now. This is not what they were fighting for. And you're right. Wow, now I lost his name because all these names I'm spouting out. But you were talking about him earlier too, and it's gonna come across as me being real ignorant right now. But he was part of Martin Luther King. Sorry, Martin Luther King Jr. He was part of the system, and I agree with that too. I'm not saying that he didn't do what he, you know, I'm not saying he didn't do anything. I'm not saying that he didn't create anything, and I'm not disrespecting him. But he was not. Him and Malcolm X are two separate entities. Malcolm X was a nonconformist and MLK was a conformist. And that's just the reality of it. Just like Barack Obama. I and I'm be honest, and most people probably know this about me. I voted for him because he was black. I had never voted in my life. I could care less about politics because it didn't have nothing to do with me. And I voted for him because he was black. And you can best believe how many arguments that entailed. And I didn't care. But I feel like, and I've said this before to other people, if he was about black folks, the first brother that got murdered behind a police officer,
he would have went all out.
Under his watch, he would have got his ass up there and he would have said, the next motherfucking cop that murders a damn brother under my watch is going to get fucking shot in the face in front of everybody on national television. Now play with it if you want to. That's what he should have done. And that's what would have created a revolution, because he would have started speaking up for what he really, for the melanin in his skin. Because if you remember, when he first got started running, everybody was talking about how he was miscegenated and how his mama was one color and his daddy was another color. And that meant he wasn't quite. Let me tell y'all something right now. All right. Ain't nobody look at my kids and be like, they got white in them. No, they want, is your daddy black or is your mama black? That's what they want to know. Or is you all the way black? They don't ask about who white. Is somebody white in your, that's not what it said, because every single person, black and or white, looks at my kids as black kids. They don't think I'm their mama. When they see me, they're like, oh, you're their mama. They don't even know, because they're not seen that way, because we didn't prepare them to be seen that way. So for him to even get up there in the first place, but this is what I'm saying, all those conformists aren't doing us any justice.
That's
they're
right.
not helping us at all. They're not doing anything to liberate. They are conforming to the exact same system that Malcolm X, Garvey, Simone, and all these other beautiful nonconformists fought for. They did not fight to get you into a system that is ran by white folks. At the end of the day, if we can't buy stock on the stock market and that money not go into a black corporation, then we ain't fucking winning. Period. If we go to the grocery store, a black-owned grocery store, and we buy food from them, that food is still coming from white folks, from white farmers. Until we go to a black restaurant that is owned by the black people that run it, then the food is bought from black farmers and manufactured and produced and all of those things. And now I'm talking about retail and everything else. Until that is the case, we are not liberated as black folks. Black folks aren't liberated as black folks. That is the bottom line. Until our money goes back into black, period, we aren't liberated, and we ain't going to be.
And we ain't going to be. That's exactly right. What I read, and that's so true. I seen a magazine article come out, three black people own three McDonald's franchises. What? Like you see, they shooting a success out like success is working for the people. And like you said, if we ain't making our own socks, black people wear socks, drawers, and t-shirts, we don't make none of it. Everything we eat, we don't make none of it. So I'm telling them, if you don't produce anything, you're nothing but a consumer. Another word for a consumer is a parasite. Come on, I don't want to be a parasite. Another word for a parasite is a leech. So that means if we're not producing something, all we're doing is leeching. We've been a parasite and a consumer. And what I realized about Martin Luther King, Kim, is Martin Luther King was born out of a middle class family. Martin Luther King got his philosophy from Gandhi. You can't liberate black people with a Gandhi philosophy. That's what he messed up. Martin Luther King got played by Lyndon B. Johnson. That's what Martin Luther King realized, and he said, "I realized I can integrate my people into a burning house." He also stated that his dream had turned into a nightmare. When the Colonel's Commission came out, 4 months after the Colonel's Commission came out, we stated that society is both separate, both black and white, and we're moving in a different direction. Martin Luther King got murdered 4 months after that because he realized what he was doing. He messed up. Martin Luther King wanted everybody to sit on the same stool as white people. Why would you get your head beat in to eat in a white restaurant and the white people cooking your food? So even if they do let you in there, they still cooking your food, brother. What they putting up in there? He never did true liberation. We're going to get our own restaurant. We're going to get our own business. Right. We're going to get our own bank. And they left it up to our kids that was born in the 1965, 1968. And usually America was so systematic at that point in time that they missed it. I was born in 83. I missed it. I'm just 30-some years old catching on to it. And now I'm willing to go all out because when I'm 30, when I'm 36 or 35, and I got some energy in my body, I don't want to die in a car wreck, kid. I don't want to die by natural causes.
Okay.
I want to die in a battlefield.
Okay.
That's the only way to die.
Okay.
I try to tell my mother and I try to tell my girl, y'all have got the best life of me already. Y'all got 30-some years of my life. You should be happy. Martin Luther King had family. Malcolm X had family. Marcus Garvey had family. But they thought about, look, and it'd be so selfish of me to try to save my life just so y'all can get more years out of me. If y'all ain't satisfied with the 30-some years I've been living right now, I got to go liberate my people. It's more important than that right now. I don't think they understand that at the time, don't you?
Exactly. And you know, there's another thing we talked about, and I said, and you know, I had a guy insult me and talk to me about me being in for entertainment. And you know, I tell people all the time, and I don't think they understand it, and you know, Patrick Alexander personally, and I'm bring him up, and he's told me, and I know this, but we've had this conversation, I should say it that way. I tell people all the time, if my last breath is because I opened my mouth or I did this podcast or I fought for black liberation, and if I take my last breath under that and after my last breath my kids are liberated and every magical melanated person that belongs to them are liberated, then guess what? Then that last breath is given to black liberation. I don't give a fuck what that looks like. I don't care about me being white. I don't care about hurting nobody's feelings. I don't care about how my family feels. I don't care about none of that. What I care about is black liberation, period. What I care about is that my children and everybody that is affiliated and has the same melanin in their skin as them don't have to get up and feel like every day is a threat and that everything is a struggle and that the only way out is prayer. You know what I'm saying? There is another way, and there has to be another way. And if I have to give my fucking life for that, I don't care how it looks, then that's what I'm going to do. There is nothing at this point in my fight and in my life that I'm doing that is more important than Black liberation. I don't understand why people don't understand that about me. You know what I'm saying? I don't get that, because I'm white and that don't mean shit to me. To me, it don't make no difference, because I ain't got shit to do with my babies. I can relate to every aspect of them that I want to. But what I cannot say to them is how it feels, how it looks to be Black. I cannot relate to them on that level. Because I can't, I'm a fight. And if I die doing it, then so be it. And so it is. And then what is considered ancestry, my part of my ancestor will then, I say, swirl as a tornado on the inside of my three children. You understand what I'm saying? And so that this liberation and this fight for liberation lives on through them. Because that's what they deserve, along with every other melanated person on this planet. I'm sorry, I got all excited.
I'm saying, like, go ahead with it. Like, that's right, Kim.
You know, it needs to be done.
Excuse me?
It needs to be done.
What do you think the first step, or some of the main steps need to be taken ASAP?
Honest to God, I don't even know, because every time I think of one idea, so like what you're doing, because the generation that's coming now needs to be re-educated starting right now, because they already have generational boundaries set up in them. You know what I'm saying? So yes, we need to focus on the generation, on the current generation and the re-education. And like you said, education isn't even the full word that really needs to be presented. They need their entire mindset. They need to be unbrainwashed, if you will. And then re-brainwashed, so to speak. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, we in this generation, your generation, my generation, need to do something right now. Honest to God, I feel like there is no one step. I feel like we are past the point of a civil rights movement where we're just changing a law, or a slavery movement where we're changing this. I feel like everything has to be done right now in this moment. It needs to be organized. We need to start buying up resources. We need to start creating companies and corporations and our own entities. And I don't think we have time to do one thing at a time at this point. I think that it has been that the lack of liberation has been so embedded, and it is so deep, and systemic racism is so incredibly big, for lack of a better word, that we have to do everything right now. It can't just be one thing. We can't just educate the babies, and we can't just change the mindset of this generation, and we can't just talk to the old folks, and we can't just start. There is no one place. Right now, everything that we can fucking possibly do to create liberation needs to happen right now, in this moment. Everything. I don't care what the idea is. If it liberates, then get out there and fucking do it. Period. All I got. People say, well, you ain't in the community. You ain't doing this. You ain't doing that. You know why? Because this is all I got. All I got right now is this voice, is this podcast, or my pages. That's what I got. And if that's all I got right now, that I'm going to use it to the best capacity that I can use it to reach as many people as I can reach, to let them understand, because we don't all hold the same gifts. We all have different things that we need to do, and we all need to collectively get together and do them now. Yesterday, 3 days ago. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know if there's just one place that we could start right now, because I feel like it's too late to do that. I could be wrong, but that's how I feel.
Now, Kim, I 100% agree with you. Matter of fact, I've been ready to take some massive amount of action. And the action I've been wanting to take lately, Kim, it hasn't been nothing nice. It has been a revolutionary action, Kim. Ways that we can do away with the system. And at this point mm-hmm. in time, I realized, just like during the 1960s and the 1950s, when the Black people were trying to vote, Kim, and the KKK wasn't allowing that. Man,
white people were killing their own people for trying to house black people up in there. They were taking, they said, if we don't care if you, I got the pictures and the articles. Man, the people back in that time, in less than 67 years ago, and some of them still live, they did not care if you was white, Mexican, whatever. If you tried to liberate the black people, they was coming to do the same thing to you as they were doing to them. They didn't care because it was just that important to preserve white culture. And what I'm saying, it is just that important for me also to preserve black culture. And what I'm saying right now, I'm just like them. At this point in time, if I find any black person sitting there trying to protect the system in leadership and they're doing it at a fast rate, I believe the same thing that the KKK is doing today, that the blacks should do today, because you're getting in the way of strictly business. And until we get in that mindset, we can't, because they went all out. And right now what I realize, most of our problem, we have what I call vanguards of the system. That means the, most of the blacks are self-perpetuating right now. I can speak about what I'm speaking about right now, and a lot of white people be like, man, you know what? That's right. Let's talk about it. The majority of my own people be like, man, don't worry about that. That stuff in the past, that don't matter no more. God came and changed all of it. Jesus on the main line, tell me what you want. Pray into some heaven. Right. Wash me white as snow. Right. Oh, Lord. They missing it.
Yep.
But soon as they read history, they realize, well, if black people that so sophisticated in Africa, how do they get so duped? I say, you must don't know what a missionary is.
Right.
You must don't know how they come. Exactly. They come smooth. They come with the word. And by the time you go to sleep and look up, you got the word and they got your land and resources.
Yep. Just like that. Just like that. Exactly. And I mean, I can't say that I don't agree, because at this point, I feel like black folks should feel desperate. And, you know, I talk about this and we'll close it out after this because of what you just said. So I when I was reading about the civil rights and once the laws were changed and everything, I was reading about how black folks went into white people neighborhoods trying to buy houses and live in their neighborhoods. And of course, the white folks didn't want to sell the houses to the black folks. So there was a group of white folks that would go in and buy the houses first, and then they would sell them to the black folks. And I'm those white folks. And I think that the one wrong thing about that is I don't want to go into a white neighborhood and buy a house for black folks. I want to be in the neighborhood that I'm in right now, which is North Birmingham, Norwood, which is a black community. And before the white folks come in and regentrify it, I think we need to come in and do that. You know what I'm saying? And that's just one, of course, thing. But I'm saying there's no time to sit back and not do this. There is no other option, and I'm sorry, I'm with you too. But then a revolution, however that looks, whatever that looks like, what we've done thus far over the last, you know, 40 years, we move forward. We're black folks move forward too, because everything is in. I'm in that corporation. I'm in that white neighborhood. I'm in that. You know what I'm saying? I'm in. I like you said, I got my 401k. I got my this. And, you know, if you ain't part of the system, then get on the other side. You know, step over that line and then go fight with white folks then. Because that's what the equivalent of what you're doing is. And that's how I feel about it. And I'm probably going to get slapped for that. But if you ain't fighting for liberation, then you're fighting for white folks. Period. And how are we going to win like that? How are we going to win?
That's right,
huh? We can't. So, I know you got places to go. And me and you, you already know we could talk for another probably 4 or 5 hours on this week. we're gonna go ahead and close out. Your mind is brilliant, and I appreciate you, and I'm grateful for you coming on, and for everybody that's out there that's listening. Whatever your form of liberation is and whatever that looks like, you know, show up and show out. If you ain't willing to die for it, then get on the other side. And that's how, you know, that's how I feel. But thank you so much for taking the time. I know your schedule is crazy and I know you got things to do and places to go. And I appreciate you sharing with me and talking to me. And, you know, it's an honor to have you on my show. Such an honor.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad you have me. And Ken, we got to continue this conversation. Because I love to go ahead and this. We already started putting together some type of strategic plan, most definitely down here in Delta. And I want to invite you down here. I want you to invite you down here to my hometown. Let you come and speak on the stage with me. I think it'll be very enlightening.
Okay.
I would
absolutely love that. Yeah, I would. I would love that. I would love to be able to do that. And that would be great. And yeah, absolutely. We can have more episodes and talk, because we have you and I, we got a lot to talk about between us. You know, we got like minds, and there's nothing more beautiful than that, especially when we're on the same page about what we're doing. So I appreciate that, and I would be honored. And, you know, all you got to do is give me a time. I don't think I'm that far anymore. I think I'm only a few hours. So I'm going to hop in my car and be there. No worries at all. So thank you. Thank you again for coming on. I appreciate you. I'm grateful for you. What you're doing is so important. I love you and I believe in you. And for everybody that's listening, I appreciate y'all showing up. Y'all know I love y'all and I believe in y'all. And I'll see you next time. Peace.
Peace.